chicken on Holly's farm.
Yeah. classified, ultra secret, Air Force generals only. Ten Hut! At ease, men, take your seat.
This is General Curtis Goathart. If you are viewing this film, then we are under extraterrestrial attack. Beware. Your brain may no longer be the boss. If you are beginning to doubt what I am saying, you are probably hallucinating. Listen carefully.
What to do if an alien appears? One.
Drop under the seat of your plane and look away.
Two.
Avoid eye contact.
Three.
If there are no eyes, avoid all contact.
How to identify alleged sightings? One.
Pie plates or as reflections in the atmosphere.
Two.
Dry cleaning bags filled with marsh gas or...
Three.
Mass insanity.
How to inform your wife and others under your command.
Can I freshen that up for you?
I don't know how she got that requisition.
Oh, she gets it. She gets it in Nepal.
Well, she's not allowed to have it unless she...
Honey,
she's related to the
honey.
People at the PX, though.
Oh, General?
Honey and men, I have something awesome to reveal to you.
Oh, well, go ahead, sir.
Go ahead.
Two flying saucers have just landed on my plate.
Well, turn away, sir. I'll eat them.
Good day.
Men, our greatest fear is realized. We are under attack from superior consciousness.
The eggs, sir?
They're only the beginning. All right, men. Questions?
Sir?
Yes, Major?
Pass the syrup, General?
It's over here.
That's a good idea, Chuck. But syrup won't stop them.
But,
next.
Sir?
Colonel?
Are you nuts?
That is just exactly what they want you to believe.
The, eggs, sir?
Let's just call them the phenomena.
Well, if I may respectfully submit, sir, I think you've got your phenomena scrambled, General.
What about my eggs, dear?
Honey, they're in everybody's eggs.
Good Lord.
You're making me cry,
General.
Perhaps you'd like another cup of coffee, sir. Settle down a bit.
Conclusion!
They think he is insane. Yet, he outranks them. His option, command.
What?
He seals off the area.
Two.
Secures the cooperation of local officials.
Three.
Obtains expert scientific assistance.
Four.
Evacuates all government employees.
Five.
And bombs aliens back to Stone.
End of film.
I'm delighted to be here tonight. Not.
Well, I woke up one day with an uncontrollable urge to get an MBA, a newfound hatred for the poor, and a burning desire to start a war. So I went to my doctor and said, "What the heck is wrong with me?" And he just smiled and said, "Son, why don't you sign up for the GOP? Well, the next thing you know, I'm putting up posters of Ronald Reagan on my wall. I got a collection of books by Milton Friedman and an autographed picture of Fawn Hall. Then I started working for my congressman, and on the first day that I got paid, I took all my money and donated it to Contra Aid. 'Cause I was a teenage Republican. Oh, the year was 1981 and a new era had just begun. We went from leisure suits to power suits and disco records to guns. And we told the world that if you were politically left of center, then it was reason enough to invade ya. So to keep us safe from the communist threat, we went to a golf course called Grenada. After 2 weeks of fun in the sun, we got it back on the right track. And our next vacation spots were booked in Panama and Iraq. Meanwhile, in the White House, anybody who wasn't extremely rich was persona non grata, and Nancy Reagan said to just say no to everything except Frank Sinatra. But I was a teenage Republican. They promised to cut taxes and increase defense spending by $800 billion. Shooting for a balanced budget, give or take $2 or $3 trillion. Well, I supported Reagan and I supported Bush because they both sounded so sincere. But now when I look back on the 1980s, it all seems pretty clear that those guys were willing to say anything just to get elected, and nothing was achieved. The economy was destroyed and the American public was deceived. Now I'm standing in an unemployment line, my benefits are about to end. I wish I could apply the same welfare programs the liberals tried to defend. But I was a teenage Republican, and I can't deny it. I was a teenage Republican, though I try to hide it. I was a teenage Republican.
Listen to the story of a strange romance.
A story about mules and elephants.
The mule was a queen who ruled quite well.
Till the tragic clang of a wedding bell.
Adieu, 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 adieu. The bride was sweet, as donkeys go.
But the groom was a scheming Romeo.
People got scared.
Began to squirm.
When the mule hooked up with the pachyderm.
Oh, housing, cried the people loudly.
But Jumbo did himself quite proudly.
He moved into the White House fast.
When the elephant married the ass.
People wondered why the donkey ate her husband like a monkey.
The donkey burped when her mate had gas.
When the elephant married the ass.
Love, 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 what a wonderful thing.
Love, love, love made the elephant sing.
He loved his wife like he loved the plague,
while he plucked the goose with the golden egg.
The country's gotten high-pricitis.
The mule's got chronic elephantitis.
How did these things come to pass?
Well, the elephant married the ass.
Hey, Joe!
Hey, Joe!
I'm listening.
Do you think the president of this country will ever be Taft?
Hartley.
Bang!
Working folk were making progress till the couple and the Congress cooked up anti-labor hash.
When the elephant married the ass.
U.S. troops on foreign soil.
Are we looking for peace or looking for oil?
The country really went to the grass
when the elephant married the ass.
Oh, love, 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 what a fabulous mate.
Love, 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 as an elephant's mate.
Picture what we would confront
in a cross between a donkey and an elephant.
Right!
Here's the moral to this story. Both our parties are turning Tory, cause the ass won't sue for a divorce. We're gonna saddle us another horse.
We'll build our own party, a real party, a people's party now.
Okay, settle down there, please. Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the first, It's the second Bit Slap of 2011. It's an old year already, so who cares who's keeping track. But it is 1111. At least that's what it says on the little tag here. So, with so much regularity going on there and the dates and all, I figured I'd pull a grab bag episode on you. So here it is. Your first grab bag of 2011. How's that? This is volume 18, if you're keeping track, I think. I'll make sure. We started with Neil Smith. Remember Neil Smith? Now, this was not the Neil Smith from Alice Cooper. This is a different Neil Smith from an album called Electric Underwear. He's from Indianapolis. Tough shit about the Colts, pal. And that was Holly's Farm. Choking My Chicken on Holly's Farm. One of my favorites. I love that song. Foot and Mouth after that. Something called Hector the Cat. And in doing a little bit of research, I was able to find out that Hector the Cat actually was a... I don't know if it was a series, but it was at least one kind of safety video for kids. And I'll include a link to that
Or you can look it up on YouTube. That's where I found it. Hector the Cat. Pretty weird. The Fireside Theater, the Army training film from Everything You Know Is Wrong. Wally Pleasant, I Was a Teenage Republican. That was the Bush remix version, in case you're curious, keeping score. And Maury Goodson and Sunny Vale, The Elephant and the Ass, in honor of our new Congress. May they coincide somehow, okay? I'm not going to pass judgment yet, but let's just hope for miracles, shall we? So, okay, speaking of miracles, I hope to entertain you today. We have more totally unrelated tracks, or pretty much unrelated. If you want to read into it, then feel free. But, you know, every once in a while, I like to just kind of shake my rug and see what falls out. You know what I mean? So, here it is, and you're going to catch it. And I'll be back in a little while to tell you more about exactly what it is that you're catching, so that you can take the proper diagnostics and antibiotics. Okay? See you in a bit.
Got the pinball machine, but it calls me bad luck. This here's a story about an ex-truck driver being named John James Wall before his friends blackballed him and nicknamed him Pinball. I gathered this story from a truck stop in Gallipolis, Ohio, and this old feller, I'd reckon about 70-year-old, asked me to buy him a strong cup of coffee and a piece of good old apple pie. And I'm glad I did, because he winked aside and said, my. Then I noticed in a few minutes, with trembling hands, he pushed a part of his pie and coffee back, and he looked at me with tears running down his poor old weather-beaten cheeks, and this is what he said. I put all I ever made in the pinball machine. I'd get four cat a corner, and I'd miss the 16. I wish they would outlaw the pinball machine. Many weeks they have caused me to live on sardines. The last time I called my wife on the phone, the first thing she said, John, when can you come home? I got a load of hogs, honey, they've got to go. I'll see you when I get back from old Chicago. She said, John, I love you, I wish you wouldn't go. Send your baby some money, they're hungry and cold. I made my trip home to Chicago. I was gone 2 months, 'cause I shot up my dough. And when I got home, Lord, my family was gone. The best friend I had rung my telephone. He said, John, I guess you're wondering about your babies and wife. Pneumonia got your babies, your wife took her life. I lost all my friends, can't sleep for bad dreams. Dream about an old truck and a pinball machine. I never will forget the last words that old man said. Oh, Lord, if I could live my life over, then he fell dead. They tell me John was a clean-cut young man at the age of 19. Now he's a victim of a big old truck and a pinball machine.
I know it's late in the evening, I know it's coming to the morning. I know I could be bleeding, we should have left this party hours ago. Oh, but darling, I just don't want to go home. You know I love to party, I love to have my fun. I love to sing and dance and jump and shout and float into the sky. Oh, but darling, I just don't want to die. Now there are nights I want to get away from this world, be with you and be moving so slow. But tonight all I want to do is dance. And I don't want to know, I don't want to see, I don't want to find out what's the matter with me. I don't really care if everything's alright. I just want to live to the end of the night. I just want to live. What's the matter with me? I don't really care if everything is alright. I just wanna live until the end of the night. I don't wanna know, I don't wanna see, I don't wanna find out what's the matter with me. I don't really care if everything is alright. I just wanna live until the
phone.
Hey, man, get the phone.
Answer the phone.
You're driving the car, okay?
Hey, man, get the phone. What happened to do?
Answer the phone.
Hello?
Hey, man, listen very carefully, man. Don't answer the phone, man. You got that? Don't answer the phone. Even if it's me calling, man, don't answer because I think the phone is bugged, man. Okay? Okay? Hello?
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 Hey, man, what the hell are you doing? Did you
Pedro?
Yeah,
is that you, man?
No, it's Freddy, man.
Hey, man, where are you, man?
Well, I'm calling from outside, man, but listen.
Hey, you got the dope?
Hey, man, don't say nothing about
Wow,
that.
Man, you better hurry up and get over here, man. Everybody thinks you ripped them off.
Hey, man, will you cool it, man?
Hey,
listen to
hey
what
where
I'm...
are you, man?
I'm outside, man. Listen
what, did you forget the address again?
No, I didn't.
Now, listen, write it down,
hey,
man.
Don't say nothing about the address of that.
Okay?
I'm listening on the own thing,
1482 Adams, you got it? Okay. Hey, right behind John's van is parked in front. You can't miss it, man. Okay? Hey, did you get the pills too, man? Hello?
Hello?
Hey, man, I gotta hang up. There's someone pounding at the door.
And now, choice of viewing on BBC Television. Just started on BBC Two, the semi-final of episode 3 of Kierkegaard's Journals, starring Richard Chamberlain, Peggy Mount and Billy Bremner. And on BBC One now, Ethel the Frog.
Good evening. On Ethel the Frog tonight, we look at violence, the violence of British gangland. Last Tuesday, a reign of terror was ended when the notorious Piranha brothers, Doug and Dinsdale, after one of the most extraordinary trials in British legal history, were sentenced to 400 years imprisonment for crimes of violence. Tonight, Ethel the Frog examines the rise to power of the Piranhas and their subsequent tracking and capture by the brilliant Superintendent Harry Snapper Organs of Q Division.
Doug and Dinsdale Piranha were born on probation in Kipling Road, Southwark. Their father, Arthur Piranha, a scrap metal dealer and TV quizmaster, was well known to the police and a devout Catholic. In January 1928, he had married Kitty Malone, an up-and-coming East End boxer. Doug was born in February 1929 and Dinsdale 2 weeks later, and again a week after that. Their next-door neighbour, Mrs. Lamberta Simnel.
Kipling Road was a typical East End street. People were in and out of each other's houses with each other's property all day long. Yes, they were a cheery lot. Cheery and violent. I remember Doug was keen on boxing, but when he learned to walk, he took up putting the boot in the groin.
When the Piranhas left school, they were called up, but were found by an army board to be too mentally unstable, even for national service. Denied the opportunity to use their talents in the service of their country, they began to operate what they called the Operation. They would select a victim and then threaten to beat him up if he paid them the so-called protection money. 4 months later, they started another operation, which they called the Other Operation. In this racket, they selected another victim and threatened not to beat him up if he didn't pay them. 1 month later, they hit upon the Other Operation. In this, the victim was threatened that if he didn't pay them, they would beat him up. This, for the Piranha Brothers, was the turning point.
Superintendent Harry Snapper Organs of Q Division takes up the story.
Doug and Dinsdale Piranha now formed a gang, which they called The Gang, and used terror to take over nightclubs, billiard halls, gaming casinos and racetracks. When they tried to take over the MCC, they were, for the only time in their lives, slit up a treat. As their empire spread, however, we in Q Division were keeping tabs on their every movement by reading the colour supplements.
One small-time operator who fell foul of Dinsdale Piranha was Vince Snetterton Lewis.
Well, one day I was at home threatening the kids, when I looks out through the hole in the wall and I sees this tank pull up, and out gets one of Dinsdale's boys. So he chains me to the back of the tank and takes me for a scrape round to Dinsdale's place. And Dinsdale's there in the conversation pit with Doug and Charles Paisley, the baby crusher, and two film producers, and a man they called Kierkegaard, who just sat there biting the heads off whippets. And Dinsdale just says, "Oh, you've been a naughty boy, Clement." And he splits me nostrils open and saws me leg off and pulls me liver out. And I tell him my name's not Clement. And then he loses his temper and nails my head to the floor.
He nailed your head to the floor?
At first, yeah.
Another man who had his head nailed to the floor was Stig O'Tracy.
Stig, I've been told Dinsdale Piranha nailed your head to the floor.
No, never! He was a smashing bloke. He used to buy his mother flowers and that. He was like a brother to me.
But the police have film of Dinsdale actually nailing your head to the floor.
Oh, yeah, he did that.
Why?
Well, I had to. I had transgressed the unwritten law.
What had you done?
Well, he didn't tell me that. But he gave me his word that it was the case, and that's good enough for me with old Dinsy. I mean, he didn't want to nail my head to the floor. I had to insist. He wanted to let me off.
I understand he also nailed your wife's head to a coffee table.
Yeah, he did that. He was a cruel man, but fair.
Clearly, Dinsdale inspired tremendous fear among his business associates. But what was he really like?
I walked out with Dinsdale on many occasions, and I found him a charming and erudite companion. He was wont to introduce one to eminent celebrities, celebrated American singers, members of the aristocracy, and other gang leaders.
How had he met them?
Through his wonderful work for charity. He took a warm interest in boys' clubs, cedar's homes, choristers' associations, and the Grenadier Guards.
Was there anything unusual about him?
I should bleeding well say not, except that Dinsdale was convinced that he was being watched by a giant edgehog, whom he referred to as Spanning Norman.
How big was Norman supposed to be?
Normally, he was wont to be about 12 feet from his head to his anus. And when he was about, Dinsdale would go very quiet and start wobbling, and his nose would swell up, and his teeth would move about, and he'd get very violent and claim that he laid Stanley Baldwin.
Did it worry you that he, for example, stitched people's legs together?
Well, it's better than bottling it up, isn't it? He was a gentleman, Dinsdale. And what's more, he knew how to treat a female impersonator.
Most of these strange tales concern Dinsdale. But what of Doug? One man who met him was Luigi Vercotti.
I'd been running a successful escort agency. High class, no, really, high class girls. Didn't have any of that. That was right out. Hello? Not now. Stum. Yeah, we'll have the watch ready for you at midnight. The watch. The Chinese watch. Right, bye-bye, mother. So I decided to open an high-class nightclub for the gentry at Biggleswade with international cuisine and cooking and top-line acts and not a cheap clip joint for picking up tarts. That was right out. I deny that completely. Shut that door! And one evening, in walks Dinsdale with a couple of big lads, one of whom was carrying a tactical nuclear missile. They said I'd bought one of their fruit machines and would I pay for it.
How much did they ask?
£750,000.
Why didn't you go to the police?
Well, I noticed that the lad with the thermonuclear device was the chief constable for the area. So a week later they called again, told me the check had bounced, and said I have to see Doug.
Doug.
Doug. Well, I was terrified. Everyone was terrified of Doug. I seen grown men pull their own heads off rather than see Doug. Even Dinsdale was frightened of Doug.
What did Doug do?
He used sarcasm. He knew all the tricks. Dramatic irony, metaphor, bathos, puns, parody, hyperbole, litotes and satire. He was vicious. Shut that bleeding door! Mother.
In this way, by a combination of violence and sarcasm, the Piranha Brothers by February 1966 controlled London and the southeast of England. It was in February, though, that Dinsdale made a big mistake. In a fit of pique, he napalmed Cheltenham. Even the police began to sit up and take notice.
The Piranhas realised they'd gone too far and that the hunt was on. They went into hiding. I decided on a subtle approach, viz. Some form of disguise, as the old helmet and boots were a bit of a giveaway. Luckily, my years with Bristol Rep stood me in good stead, as I assumed a bewildering variety of disguises. I tracked them to Cardiff, posing as the Reverend Smiler Egret. Hearing they'd gone back to London, I assumed the identity of a pork butcher, Brian Stoats. On my arrival in London, I discovered they had returned to Cardiff. I followed as Gloucester from King Lear. Acting on an hunch, I spent several months in Buenos Aires as Blind Pew, returning through the Panama Canal as Ratty in Toad of Toad Hall. Back in Cardiff, I relived my triumph as Sancho Panza in Man of La Mancha, which the Bristol Evening Post described as a glittering performance of rare perception. although the Bath Chronicle was less than enthusiastic. In fact, it gave me a right penning. Quote,
as for the performance of Superintendent Harry Snapper Organs as Sancho Panza, the audience were bemused by his high-pitched Welsh accent, his abusive ad-libs, and his persistent unscheduled appearances and cries of what's all this then during the rape scene.
The police now began to close the net around the Piranha Brothers, and it was in a last desperate attempt to forestall the inevitable that Doug and Dinsdale went to a small house in Stepney, where they...
Excuse me?
Yes?
I got a message from Dinsdale. He likes this record very much, but him and some of the boys have the feeling that this last item has gone on a bit too long.
Well, I'm afraid I disagree. I think a story like this needs time to
develop. You misunderstand me. He don't want to debate about it. Dinsdale thinks that the humorous impact will be somewhat dissipated by the prolongation of this item.
Well, I'm afraid I'm not prepared.
Oh, sorry, Squire. I'll scratch the record. 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 Sorry, Squire. I'll scratch the record.
In case you're interested, and I like to try and give these people credit, my bed music today is Vinnie Smith and Cool Ride, whoever they are. I can't tell you anything about them. I don't want to know anything about them. It's a surprise. Please don't spoil it for me, okay? We started that set with Shane Spiel's head. I don't know whatever happened to the rest of his body, but somebody was playing that guitar. And that was something called In the Pines. In the Pines, yes. I think that's where Shane lives, in the pines somewhere. looking for his head. After that, Merle Kilgore, the pinball machine. Holiday Salmon, I don't know if that's one guy or a band that was called I Don't Want to Know, as if you didn't know. Cheech and Chong, Don't Answer the Phone. You've heard that one before. That was a follow-up to Dave, right? Yeah, you recognize that. Monty Python and the Holy Grail, the Piranha Brothers on the Ethel Varg program. And the Jesse Powell Orchestra featuring Miss Fluffy Hunter, Walk Right In. So go ahead, just walk right in, have a seat, and we'll get to you in a moment. We're doing a grab bag special today in honor of 2011, because I really can't think of anything else. So back to the music, and I'll talk to you in a bit.
Got hair no more. She's alopecic, and a big wig she wore. It's universal, her entire body's bald. Alopecia areata, this is called. She said her light brown hair was first to drop, leaving the gray ones like an old mangy mop. Extensive alopecia happens from fright. Jeannie says her hair turned white overnight. She tried some steroids with a saran cap. When the effluvium would come, she said, "Aw, crap." I told her she looked better than Mary Alice. Mary Alice seems to have alopecia totalis. Her new hair falls out in the telogen phase. She quit shaving armpits for the rest of her days. She got vitiligo when she lost melanin. Was a problem from bacterial origin. I dream of Jeannie with her hair nightmare. Now with prednisone, she's grown some light brown hair.
We'll be right back.
Minister Sears and Roebuck. I've been sitting here a-thumbing through your book. Page 199 shows the stove that's mighty fine and a fella in an apron like a cook. Dear Mr. Sears and Roebuck, that electric stove's way above my class. It's a beauty, yes indeed, but the thing I really need is that man to teach me how to cook with gas. Don't send the stove, it's the kind I'd like to buy, but I ain't making much singing dollars. I don't need the stove, but if I could have the guy, he could toss me around like a salad. Oh, Mr. Sears and Roebuck, all the items in your catalog are slick, but the gadget I'd admire is that man beside my fire. Take his apron off and send him to me quick. Dear Mr. Sears and Roebuck, I've been checking your supplies for tennis courts. There is something I should get, not a racket or a net, but I sure could use that rascal in the shorts. Dear Mr. Sears and Roebuck, your canoe on page 143. Now that's the type that I would fit, but I'm up a different creek. Can't you send a feller here to paddle me? I don't want a bath. Soapy water makes me howl. Don't the folks in your ass ever mind it? I can't use a bath. You can keep your Turkish towel. Only ship me the sheet from behind it. Don't mean to fuss. Oh, Roebuck, but you'll never fill my order, it appears. If the shortage is acute, I'm an easy girl to suit. I'll shut up if you will send me Mr. Sears. If he ain't taken, I'll shut up if you will send me Mr. Sears.
Hey, kids! It's time for the Mr. Bill Show!
Oh, kiddies! Hey! Oh, boy! We're gonna have fun today because we're all gonna look at my family album! Yay!
Whoops!
Oh, Spot!
Say, Mr. Bill, here's your family album.
Oh, Mr. Hands, can we find out where I came from, huh?
Sure, Mr. Bill. You know, you're from a show business family. Your grandfather was Vaudeville Bill, and he worked hard, hoping one day to become a big star. And before long, Mr. Bill, he became so good, he brought the house down every night.
Oh, oh, poor Grandpa!
And you know, Mr. Bill, your father was also in show business and started out in the movies as a stuntman. But your father found being a star even more hazardous than being a stuntman. So he quit show business to settle down and raise a family. And he took your mother's hand in marriage, and like your grandpa, he brought the church down. Say, and before you know it, along came little Billy.
Oh, that's me, yay!
Your mom and dad were out in the backyard picnicking that day, when all of a sudden, the glorious event happened. And as it often happened in those days, your father died during childbirth.
Oh, what a rotten way to come into the world!
And then, Mr. Bill, you received the slap of life. Then, Mr. Bill, that very evening, during a terrible rainstorm, another glorious event occurred when a shivering little stray dog scratched on the door and we took Spot in to stay forever.
Here comes Mr. Bill.
Oh, 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 it's Spot, hey! But you know, Mr. Hands, it seemed like I remember we didn't have any towels to dry him off.
Oh, I took care of that.
Oh, poor Spot, oh!
Say, and talking about drying off, do you remember your first diaper? And how I helped out when your mom didn't have any safety pins?
Oh, yeah, how could I forget that?
Oh, and you know, it was also the time you spoke your first word. Soon, your mom had to go out shopping, so you got your first babysitter, Auntie Sluggo.
Oh, she wasn't a babysitter. She was just mean to me.
But, Mr. Bill, she ironed your clothes for you. And she fed you. And then she brushed your teeth.
But I didn't have any teeth.
Well, Mr. Bill, it wasn't long before you were up and on your feet and ready to take your first step.
Yeah, but why did you make me bring it into traffic, huh?
And soon your hair got too long, and you got your first haircut.
Oh, Mr. Hands, look, I really had a rough childhood. I'm surprised I made it to my first birthday.
Well, Mr. Bill, as we all know, things get worse. Like when you had to go to the doctor for your first checkup. First, he checked your reflexes.
Oh, but I didn't have any reflexes.
And then he took your temperature. Well, Mr. Brill, at least your blood pressure was normal.
Oh, yeah, but the worst thing that happened was when he gave me the vaccination for all the kids in town.
But, Mr. Bill, you've never gotten polio. Now, come on, Mr. Bill, things weren't that bad. Like, remember what a charge you got out of Christmas?
Yeah, but why did I always have to go to work at the Christmas tree, huh?
But, Mr. Bill, remember all the fun you had at the playground? Like when you played buried treasure with your pal.
Oh, well, there wasn't any treasure there, wasn't there?
And remember the seesaw?
Oh!
And how about all the great thrills when you played catcher in the Little League?
Yeah, but why did you play me so close to the plate, huh?
Well, Mr. Bill, you've finally become a young man. And remember your first day at school?
Yeah, I remember. And you know something, Mr. Hands? I'm beginning to think that maybe you haven't been such a good friend to the family like you say you are. And you know, if I see one more time you help us out, I might get really mad.
Oh, well, I'd better shut the family album then.
Oh!
Whoa, now you're in the family album, Mr. Bill. Bye-bye.
Well, I heard that you're leaving.
Leaving.
Gonna leave me far behind.
So far behind.
Cause you found a brand new lover. You decided that I'm not your kind.
So I pulled your name out of my Rolodex. And I tore all your pictures in two. And I burned down the malt shop where we used to go. Just because it reminds me of you.
That's right.
That's right.
You ain't gonna see me crying.
I'm glad
that you found somebody new.
Cause I'd rather spend eternity eating shards of broken glass than spend one more minute with you. I guess I might seem kinda bitter. You got me feeling down in the dumps. Cause I'm stranded all alone in the gas station of love, and I have to use the self-service pump. Oh, so honey, let me help you with that suitcase.
You ain't gonna break my heart in two.
Cause I'd rather get 100,000 paper cuts on my face than spend one more minute with you. I'd rather rip out my intestines with a fork than watch you going out with other men.
I'd rather slam my fingers in a door again and again and again and again and again.
Oh, can't you see what I'm trying to say, darling?
I'd rather have my blood sucked out by leeches.
Shove an ice pick under a toenail or two. I'd rather clean all the bathrooms in Grand Central Station with my tongue than spend one more minute with you. Yes, I'd rather jump naked on a huge pile of thumbtacks. Stick my nostrils together with crazy glue. I'd rather dive into a swimming pool filled with double-edged razor blades than spend one more minute with you.
I'd rather rip my heart right out of my rib cage with my bare hands and then throw it on the floor and stomp on it till I die.
Then spend one more minute with you.
Well, bless my soul, what's wrong with me? I'm meek like a man of 33. Friends every night in the well as my boot. I'm alone, I'm all shook up. Oh yeah, yeah. My hands are shaking and my knees are weak. I can't still stand on 2 feet. Who do you think when it's such a lot? I'm alone, I'm all shook up.
Go and tell old man he bought Uncle John. He said to heaven, he said, I'm a fun old baby. Yeah, baby. Ooh, baby, have some fun tonight. Well, old tall fella, not on the bar. And nobody cares, he's not a tall old baby. Yeah, baby. Ooh, baby, have some fun tonight. And I saw Uncle John with long tall. I saw Aunt Mary coming back to back the end. Oh baby, yeah baby. Ooh baby, have some fun tonight. We're gonna have some fun tonight. Have some fun tonight. Have some fun tonight. Everything's alright. Gonna have some fun. Have some fun tonight.
Won't throw a party in the car door, yeah. The policeman will be going too well. The band will the jump, do we going to swing. Move through the hurry, no yellow, but sing. Let's rock. Let's rock. Everybody holds a block. Won't stand through the yellow house rock. Spine him up on a telesaxophone. Little yodel on the slide trombone. The drum rolls a close boom bam. Your voice is taking what's probably on. Let's rock. Let's rock. Everybody holds a block. Most dance to the yellow house rock. Since my baby left me, I found a new place to dwell. Down at the end of the lonely street at Heartbreak Hotel. I get so lonely. I get so lonely, baby. I get so lonely. Some room where rose and broken hearted love wear a gloom. I get so lonely. I get so lonely, baby. I get so lonely. I could die. Bell of teeth keep flowing. Dress glad, dressed in black. Red beans so lonely, sweet. I'll never go coming back. I get so lonely. I get so lonely, baby. I get so lonely, I could die. Well, it's 1 for the morning, 2 for the throne, 3 to get 3, now go get cold, but don't you step on my blues with you. You can do anything, but lay no blues with you. You can knock me down, step in my face, lay my name all over the place. Do anything you want to do. Honey, open that shoe. Don't you step on my blues with you. You can do anything but lay no blues with you. Love me tender, love
Okay, to the lovely strains of Vinnie Smith. And Cool Ride, that was called Sleepy. What you mean? Too much partying over the new year. Gotta lose some weight. We got people looking at the house again already. It's like January and people are looking at the house. What's going on? What kind of world is this? Anyway, back to reality here. No more holidays. All right, speaking of reality, we started that set with Sam Adams. Sam is the singing dermatologist, and that was his ode to alopecia. Alopecia, in case you didn't figure out, is hair loss. You know, as in male pattern, as in baldness, as in things like that. Giovanni and Sebastian, after that, Bream in Cream. Oh, by the way, Sam Adams, the singing dermatologist, guess what? I have a whole record of that stuff, and I'm going to start filtering it in because I just recently found it and ripped it off of my cassette that it was on. That came to me, anyway. I don't think the station has that. That came to us from our good friend Dr. Tom. I don't know if you remember Dr. Tom. He was a psychedelic music collector and came up with all kinds of weird stuff like that, and that was one of the weirdest. So you'll be hearing more of that soon, I'm promising you, unless you send me large checks or small diamonds, one or the other, you decide. Alright, where were we? Bream and Cream from Giovanni and Sebastian, Mr. Sears and Mr. Roebuck from Dorothy Shea was the singing hillbilly. I wonder if the singing hillbilly and the singing dermatologist, alright. The Mr. Bill Show from Walter Williams. I don't think that had anything to do with Saturday Night Live. Weird Al Yankovic, One More Minute. And, of course, the Eilert Pilarm Megamix from the Eilert Pilarm Elvis record. Okay, as if there were any other. Eilert is the Swedish Elvis impersonator. I don't know where he's been lately. I think he was probably pulled from his limousine and beaten with sticks. I'll check on that for you and let you know. All right, that's it for this week. Of course, I do have a mystery tune for you. It's no mystery. It's one of those 60s bands that everybody seems to like. You'll know who it is immediately, and you'll recognize this as something you haven't heard in probably 30 or 40 years. So, good luck with it. Meantime, I'll see you next week. Do stay warm. It's cold outside. And don't fall in a hole. What can I tell you? All right. Bye-bye.